group and you would like to speak, please sign up now, and after this we will not take any more speakers. The next person is Joe Appert.
Good afternoon, and appreciate your time, concern, and patience. And sometimes these tasks are not easy to do. As been indicated here, the fears of coming forward and saying something has not been easy for any of us, myself included. I'm one of these people that goes back a number of years, and I wished I would have had the help, the encouragement, the support that many of the people do have nowadays that is improving, be it also slightly. I sat there 20-some years ago knowing that I was different, knowing that I had different feelings, but could not identify with them because I had nobody to resort to turn to, or to ask questions. I was told by a professional counselor at the university that I attended that I was going through a phase and that I would outgrow it. I went through a phase, all right. Many people were hurt, lied to, cheated, whatever you want to call it. Being that I was living a double standard, a double life. I come before you with that information as one of the co-presidents or chairman, whatever you want to call it, of the 10% Society at the tri-college organizations here in the Fargo-Moorhead area. We are recognized now on two campuses. Hopefully we'll get to the third, if and when the homophobia dies. Moorhead State University has been recognized for some time with the 10% Society. They have had that organization. Last year, we took a major, major step to some of our people over on the other side of the river, North Dakota State University. Last spring, we were recognized there as a full-fledged student organization. And being a member of that organization, it did my heart good after 25 years. We are making progress, but I do feel it is much too slow. There are situations where one fears, out of their own concern or out of their own portion of their own life, to where they're going to turn or who they're going to go to. I have dealt with that situation in my own life. It's been very hard to have to admit who I am. It took me 10 years to do that. I lied to myself for, you know, a good 15 years. You want to talk about inhibitions and fears? Because I did not have that support. I did not have someone out there to talk to. That's what's scary. And as been mentioned earlier, the number of suicides. Imagine what a person like myself goes through in trying to identify where they are at when they do not have that support. And I think if one thinks about this, that will answer some of the questions that were asked here today as far as the support, as far as in the education or in the leadership of government roles. We have citizens of the state of Minnesota and citizens of the state of North Dakota, or all states here in the Union of the United States, that are in need of help and support. And be it here, whether the first step be taken, it has to be done somewhere. We're concerned about the loss of our citizens, the loss of revenue, our economic situation. It all plays a part. It's something that should be important to every human being in these United States and worldwide if we are concerned about all our minorities. So it is with that, as the co-president of the 10% Society at this stage of the game, that I feel education is probably one of the most important factors that we can go forward with. The homophobia that exists out there, these people do not know that we are not a threat to them. We are not out recruiting their sons and daughters to become one of us. Who in their right mind would get up in the morning, look in a mirror, and say, well, I think I'll join a minority today. Let it be gay and lesbian. Who in their right mind would do that? I sure in the hell didn't choose to do it. It was something that I had to learn to live with. And it has not been easy. I will cite an example that has happened because of something that I feel very important about taking a step. I was reluctant about coming here today in more ways than one. But I took an initial big step here about a week ago. We decided to go forth on the campus at North Dakota State University at an activities fair and be present, hopefully for other people that they might see, or they may have somebody to turn to if they have feelings or if they have questions about their sexual orientation. I did that. An article got printed in one of the local papers. Well, it so happens I didn't think quite far enough. It was picked up by the Associated Press. It went westward into homophobic North Dakota, western area. I was out there yesterday. I felt like I had knives in my back all day. Because all of a sudden people out there found out, hey, you know, I guess he is gay. You know, we've heard these rumors all this time. So it's fearful stepping out into this. But I feel strongly enough that someone has to do it. That is the other reason that I'm going forward and doing what I'm doing with the 10% Society and the help of the members that we have within the 10% Society. It has been a process not only in this organization, the growing. We have had members in the 10% Society that could not come before you today. It has taken them time to adapt, to realize who they are. And it's a growing process, and sometimes very painful. Now, if everyone was as supportive or as interested as you folks are, contributing your time, money, energy, etc., wouldn't this be a wonderful world? But there's too little of it. So I could go on, and I know you mentioned brevity and the rest of the good things. I appreciate that. I want to thank you folks for taking the time and giving us some feelings that we are still part of this world. I still feel that I am normal. I am still part of this society. I am still part of the United States, part of Minnesota, North Dakota, the people that I'm working with. So in conclusion, I think some of the recommendations here as far as education would be one of my first major recommendations. And I mean educations of all people, whether they be teachers, police, government officials, no matter who they are. If we're talking about a course in homophobia, there are a lot of places that it could be applied. And I think it would do a world of good. And maybe we would get rid of some of this fear and this hatred that exists out there amongst our fellow citizens. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions?
Joe, a couple quick questions. Reference has been made to the 10% Society frequently, as you're aware. Is that a recognized student organization on these various campuses?
It is a recognized student organization on Morehead State University right now, and it also last spring was recognized at North Dakota State University.
Okay. Do you receive similar kinds of funding as do other student organizations from the schools?
Morehead State University received their first funding last spring or this fall. It's in place now. As a new organization over at the North Dakota State University, we have not been able to request that yet. We have to, you know, go through the formal process of being there for a year and then putting and submitting a budget. That would be more than helpful, but we're working with very minimal resources.
Those processes are open to you, it sounds like.
Yes, they are.
Do you believe that you are treated fairly in them? Do you receive proportionately the same amount of money as similar-sized organizations?
Well, if I look at the budget of some of the student organizations and I look at the other ones, I'd have to respond no.
Okay, thank you.
I gather there's no such organization at Concordia or that your group is not there yet.
That is right. It is unfortunate. It is one of my goals, and hopefully the organization, the 10% Society, to be able to open that door.
Are you in contact with gay and lesbian students on that campus who wish that there was something there?
Yes, I know of students that are on that campus. And it's a process that some way, somehow, we have to find a way to open that door. I don't know what it's going to take or what it's going to be. It is something that, you know, one continues to try to approach. We've looked at several ideas now within the organization of the 10% Society, which we are going to pursue. What the success ratio is going to be, Lord only knows.
Do some of those students get Concordia students get some of their support from your society's membership?
The 10% Society, we don't discriminate against anyone, so anyone's welcome, whether it be parent, friends, or what. The only thing we do, and it's for the safety of our members, is to screen people as far as the ones wanting to come to the meeting to find out that we don't have somebody coming in there that, as some other people have referred to, that could blow our heads off.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Lincoln Thompson.
My name's Linda Thompson. Last name's
Phil. I'm sorry.
Linda?
Yes, okay.
Yeah. I can relate to a lot of things that the lesbian and the gay community go through. I'm a transsexual in the process of just starting out the process of changing from male to female. The process will take me another 5 to 10 years to complete. But I can relate to a lot of things that have gone on here today. So I have experienced a lot of them. I'm relatively new in the Morehead Fargo area. I've been here off and on for most of a year. I've been riding the rails for the last 8 years because of what I am doing and the feelings I've had. And every time I started to come out, get a job and a place to stay and start becoming a member of society, once my employers, my landlords found out about what I was doing and whatnot, I'd be fired. Word would spread around the town that I was working in and I would be unemployable. So it was just a matter of time before they starved me out of town. I remember one town in Wyoming where the grocery stores wouldn't sell me any groceries. The cops turned their backs on me every time something violent went down against me. Got to the place where, you know, they starved me out. I've been threatened with tar and feathering before. I've seen a lot of the problems that happen. I found the law in your society does not really, they say, yeah, take it to court and whatnot. I found the system out there and the rails is a lot more effective. It's a lot more honest. It's usually a lot more permanent, too. But it's one I've been living by for the last 8 years or so. As I'm trying to re-enter society and live by your rules and laws, I will try and go by your rules and laws. Like I said, I will try. We'll see. Last week over at MSU, I had a confrontation with some people in one of my classes. It wasn't really violent or anything, but it came down to the point where I quit school. And by the time I made up my mind to come back and face those people, apologize and explain for where I'm coming from, I was in Spokane, Washington. That was Saturday night. Spent 4 hours in the yards in Spokane, Washington, and I made up my mind and says, no, this is wrong. This is running away from it. This is exactly what happened in Wyoming. I said, let's go back and try it. So we got on a train. We got back here Monday night. I went back in front of the same class Wednesday morning. Explained my situation, what I'm going through, the problems I'm having with the kids and whatnot around me. And so far, it seems to be working out. I think a lot of these people are going to these rules around here are from these little towns. And this is all real new to them. And they've been raised in a farmers or a backward society or a primitive culture, it's like I like to say it. And so they're coming out with what their folks told them. Whereas if we get out there and explain to them, maybe they'll at least accept us. I've also been warned by the staff at MSU not to carry any guns or knives with me, which I have done in the past. This is the only way I can get off of welfare and rejoin society. If I can't become a woman like the way I want to, then there is no reason for me to have a job or to enter society. I will continue to rape the system, continue to ride the rails, terrorize the country, because there's nothing else left for me to do. That's all I have to say. Oh, there is one article I picked up that was sent to me from the Denver Post, September 21st, 1990. And this just explains society's views on what I am doing. This is a woman talking. She says, women don't need to cross-dress because society attaches no stigma to women dressing like men. Have you seen what they're forcing professional women to wear these days, she says. Suits, ties, short hair. We're cross-dressing anyway. Society says that when women dress like men, they're stepping up. But since women are second-class citizens, when men dress like women, they're stepping down. And that's frowned on. I find that to be very true. That's all I have to say, but I can understand what the gay and lesbian community goes through. I do feel more comfortable around them than I do the rest of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Good. Linda, are you in touch or in contact with other transsexuals who have been through this process so that you get support? How do you get your support?
I'm working with somebody right now. We're trying to put together a meeting. There are a few other women in this general area like me, and we are in the process of setting up a meeting.
Can you think of anything that the law can do to help make your life better?
I haven't had any confrontations with the law around here yet. I'm not real sure. I've always found cops to be real redneck. The way they're raised, you know, big, strong, masculine. And like this article says, you know, for a guy to change gender to a woman's gender, they'll feel like that I'm a traitor. So I'm expecting them to turn their backs or to use a law to their own favor.
Thank you for testifying.
Thank you. I was going to ask someone.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda.
Gary Jacobson.
I'm Gary Jacobson, chair of the social work department at Morehead State University. I'm very pleased to be able to talk to you today to share with you some of the concerns that I have personally and that the faculty has at Morehead State University around instances that we know of discrimination that takes place against individuals on campus and I'm sure also in the community of Fargo and Morehead. I assume that maybe the example of the fact that individual students have been harassed at Morehead State has come up. And let me share with you from a personal standpoint what went on. This took place back in spring quarter of last year when a faculty member at Morehead State was working with students around research papers, and a particular student decided to do a research paper that involved trying to get to looking at gay and lesbian issues as it relates to the military. And in an attempt to get some information from students, she asked that perhaps she could have other students get the network out and gather information on either instances of discrimination that they had personally experienced or that they would like to share by just simply giving her a note. Anonymous notes, and you know, she could use that as information in her paper. And gradually, some very harassing kinds of notes appeared, threatening notes appeared. They appeared in her book bag. They appeared in between classes. The faculty member that was involved with this student also started receiving notes on her windshield in the parking lot, and so it was very apparent that there was someone that was very close to involved in the student organization and also student body was involved in this. We began also receiving phone calls in our department subjecting our faculty member to threats of harassment. This particular student that was involved in this was also physically harassed and was actually assaulted in Fargo. It became very apparent to us that this was a very serious concern, and as a faculty, we decided to openly and publish a letter to the advocate, and I'd like to read that letter. I don't know if it has been introduced as evidence or not, but I'd like to read the letter that we sent to the advocate and had available. The social work faculty has been made aware of numerous incidents of written, verbal, and physical harassment and intimidation of gay, lesbian, and gay students on the campus of Morehead State University. These instances occurred in the classes, in the union, in the library, and even when walking across the mall. And by the way, these evidently were instances that came to the student through these anonymous notes. This is not confined to students. A social work faculty member working with a concerned student on this issue has been also receiving written threats. Our response to this is one of deep concern and outrage and a desire to encourage others who are concerned to become involved in expressing this concern openly. We are aware of the university's efforts to increase knowledge of and sensitivity to issues which face gays and lesbians. However, our concern at this time is focused on the issue of students and faculty safety on our campus. Our professional code of ethics calls for social workers to promote the general welfare of society. And then we quoted from our code of ethics, the social worker should act to prevent and eliminate discrimination against any person or group on the basis of race, color, sex, sexual orientation, age, religion, national origin, marital status, political belief, mental or physical handicap, or other preference or personal characteristics, condition, or status. The social worker should act to expand choice and opportunities for all persons with special regard for disadvantaged or oppressed groups or persons. We believe this ethic should be one embraced by society in general, and more specifically, Morehead State University. We are taking action on our ethics in our classroom, and move that larger action to the larger university system be sponsored by sponsoring a table at the Morehead State University on May 10. The social work table will display our department position on the statement, as well as supplying a pink armbands for those who wish to join our public expression of solidarity with the right of gay, lesbian and gay students to experience a safe environment here at Morehead State University. We invite you to join us in this public statement for the right of students to feel safe at Morehead State University. We are picking up armbands supplied by the Morehead State Student Social Work Association and wearing them for statement of support and safety. This activity that took place on May 10 was, I would consider, to be relatively successful. We were able to elicit a great deal of support by student bodies as well as administration. They were willing to wear the armbands. Now, I know that that isn't everything that has to be done. I think it's simply one example of the discrimination that is taking place across the country. Gay and lesbian people are being discriminated against, yes, here in Morehead State and in Fargo-Moorhead. I think we have an obligation to make sure that we have laws protecting them, have laws that provide them, have support that provides them with equal opportunities to involve in lives that they have a right to live. And I think as a social worker, as a member of the social work department, we would like to stand on record as saying that we believe that this is a right and that we should find ways of supporting this community.
Thank you. Do you have a ROTC unit at Morehead State?
I believe there is something at Morehead State. Is it a ROTC?
I think it's through NDSU.
Through NDSU.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Through Tri-College.
Mm-hmm. I see. Questions?
But one question. I appreciate hearing very much what the social work department did in support of the faculty member and the student. And I appreciate hearing the support individually from students and administration. Was there any corporate support around this issue beyond your department? Did the Senate faculty take any action? Did the president of the college or the Board of Trustees take any action?
There was, I know that there was discussed amongst the cabinet with the president, and the administrative vice president was kept apprised of the whole situation based on the fact that we had to have security involved and so forth and so on. I think the administration made it very clear to us that they would be very willing to wear the armbands and did personally wear the armbands. I think Barb, in her statement, I think it is true that they are supportive of us in trying to do what we can to support this population, as with any other population that's on our campus, minority population. I think more has to be done. I think we have to set up an opportunity for education. And not just formalized educational courses, but I'm talking about an opportunity to get together and speak face-to-face, talk with people, share information, share knowledge, dispelling the myths that exist out here. I mean, we're operating from mythical standpoints. I mean, people are expecting one type of behavior, and I think we have to challenge that. I think the Morehead State Student Association attempted to have an open forum. They invited the 10% Society in and had an open forum where people could talk about gay and lesbian issues. We had several gays, several lesbian people that came up and talked personally about their experiences on campuses. I think that kind of thing is needed. We not only have to have that, but I think our department, it was brought home very, very quickly to our department. We are not immune to these things here in rural North Dakota, Minnesota, North Dakota. I think we have an obligation, especially those of us in training, to make sure that these issues are brought out in class. So we are making an effort to really take a look at what content is being placed in classes and talked about in courses about gay and lesbian issues, about racism, about sexism, about any of the isms that we talk about. I think it's important, especially in the social profession, because we're going to be confronted with those things out there. So we appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Thank you very much.
I do have one further question.
Yes.
Is the faculty member who was threatened still on your faculty?
The faculty member that was threatened is not on campus anymore. This faculty member happened to be a fixed-term faculty person, but it just so happened that that faculty member felt enough threatened that she, in fact, left the campus before the spring quarter was over. Because these phone calls were very bizarre calls. Mm-hmm. They were very threatening. And at the recommendation of a psychiatrist, she removed herself from the situation. Mm-hmm. I must say that we haven't had any of those instances surfacing at this present time. But that doesn't mean that that it's gone away. I think it's just an indication that it periodically is there, and we just have to have opportunities to take care of this.
And the student?
The student is presently back,
mm-hmm.
and thus far we haven't had any confrontations, and we hope that that'll be the case.
Thank
it
you.
Is a very scary situation when the secretary is getting phone calls and threats. It got to the point where the phone would ring and they didn't even want to answer it. Very bizarre threats.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you
very
much.
Is that the last person? All right. Thank you all for coming. We appreciate your input, and I can assure you that everything that has been brought to us will be seriously considered. And I now declare the hearing adjourned.